time when the church was being affected, for good or bad, by travelling Bible teachers. John is very concerned about the damage that some are causing, but he's too elderly to travel. Hence, he writes this letter as the best way of addressing the problem. It is written to a fellow Christian, Gaius. Besides Gaius, two other individuals are mentioned, namely Diotrephes and Demetrius. So if you have a Bible with me or whatever, turn with me to the third letter of John and we'll read the 15 verses together. And I'm reading from the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So, if I come, I will bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Verse 13, I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would receive your word for what it is, not as the words or the opinions of man, but as the very word of God. By your Spirit, enable us to not only understand it, but to believe it, embrace it, and live it. For your glory and honour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message that I've been given to address is True Believers Support True Believers. So let me first define what I believe is meant by the term a true believer. A true believer is one who has confessed and repented of their sin, accepting by faith that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh, died to redeem them from sin and death, and was resurrected. They receive the Holy Spirit and are born again. And they live out their Christian lives in love and honour to their Lord and Saviour who saved them. Now, as we consider this passage from 3 John, the first thing that's important is to establish the reason why true supporters, why true believers should support one another. The answer is simply because of the connection we have with each other. This connection between believers is seen in verse 1. John says, "Beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." John and Gaius were connected to each other in the truth. And the deep bond they shared was because they upheld the truth of the gospel. They both had a personal relationship with Jesus and therefore a relationship with each other. They were brothers in Christ and part of God's family. The Bible tells us that all true believers are born again into God's family, that we are in Christ. We belong to each other and form one body, and that's Romans 12:5. We are members of one another, Ephesians 4:25. We are to love one another, John 13:34. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Now you can have a sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters, because you were cleansed from your sins when you accepted the truth of the good news." So see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your heart. This is the attitude in which true believers should always interact with one another due to their connection with them. John showed such love toward Gaius by addressing him as beloved. And it's interesting to note that John refers to Gaius four times in the short letter as beloved, a term in the New Testament that suggests an esteem for others that comes from recognizing their worth as children of God and therefore to be highly valued. You know, it saddens me when I hear someone say that they get on better with people outside the church rather than those inside. There's something wrong here. Since true believers are divinely connected to one another, they must get to know one another, to love one another, to look after one another, to care and support one another. For if they truly love God, they will love each other. So the answer to why we as true believers should support one another is because of the connection we have with each other. We belong to the same family, God's family, and it is God who connects us. Then from verse 2, we see some practical areas of service or ministry in which true believers can and should support one another. Firstly, the first area is with their concerns. Not as a busybody, but with genuine concern for one another in their walk for our Lord. This area, I believe, is very important because walking this Christian life, or walking this Christian walk, can be hard some days. Some get distracted, weary, worn down, and feel like giving up. Some experience difficult times with family problems, work problems, financial problems, health issues, and the list could go on and on and on. So we need the support of our fellow believers who care about us. John demonstrates such concern for Gaius's well-being by saying his well-being, his physical condition, by saying in verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Now, it's possible that Gaius had some sort of health issue that John was aware of, so he prays for him. You know, health issues are such an important area in which true believers can support one another. When any of our fellow believers are unwell, for whatever reason, let's never forget to pray for them. And let me say that as one who has benefited, we'll leave it there, from the many prayers of believers when I've not been well, it is so uplifting and encouraging to know that others are praying for you. Sure, not all are healed when we pray for them, and this is a mystery we don't understand because it rests in God's sovereignty. He is in control, and ultimately he knows what is best for us. But it does not mean that we should not stop praying for healing, especially if the Holy Spirit so moves us. So it's important for a believer, after learning of the concerns of another, to support them by asking God's help through prayer. As believers, we must never forget the value of intercessory prayer and its impact. God has power to deal with any of our believers' concerns, whether they are physical, spiritual, or practical needs. And do you know something? When we, as true believers, go before God with the concerns of another, we serve that individual and show them an extension of God's love. True believers taking time to learn of the concerns of another that may be causing them anxiety and worry, and then praying for God's intervention in their life is an important means of supporting them. Well, John prays for Gaius's physical condition, that it may be as healthy as his soul was. Some translations say, read, "as your soul prospers." Let me digress here for a moment, because this gets me wound up a little bit, and it might put a little few extra minutes on my allocated time, but I'd like to digress for a moment to say this, because this passage has become a key passage for the prosperity gospel. Unfortunately, the verse has been misused and misapplied by many Christian teachers, and it gets me angry, but hang on, I'm having fun. The prosperity gospel, or the health and wealth gospel, is the gospel that says that God not only wants your soul's salvation, but he wants you to be healthy and wealthy. And if you're not, it's because you do not realize that promise, or you don't have enough faith. And if you would only have enough faith, you would be healthy and wealthy, and as well saved in eternity. John doesn't say that. John is not saying that every Christian is going to be healthy and wealthy. Those things would indeed be a blessing were the Lord to give us wealth, or were the Lord to give us health. But these are not the things that are promised to every believer. However, John does say, "I am praying that you are as well in terms of your physical health as you are spiritually." And that priority of prayer for one another should be the aim of every true believer. With that in mind, I challenge myself, as I would challenge you, Are we persistently asking God to help us see any areas of concern in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ that may be weighing them down? If so, we must pray for each other. Philippians 2:4 says, don't think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too. True believers also have a role to play in supporting one another with respect to their commitment to live by the word of God and to bring glory to God in what they do, not only with their concerns, but also with their commitment. I see that this commitment applies in two areas here. The first area applies to their Christian walk. And here John praises Gaius for his commitment for walking in the truth. He says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Here is a man, Gaius, who is spiritually healthy. He is characterized by faithfulness, and he is walking in the truth. His walk of truth was noticed by others, and they could talk about it because they saw it. This meant that Gaius was obeying God's word and walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and that made John happy. True believers are to encourage and support one another to show similar commitment in their walk for our Lord, especially since we live in a day where many have come to faith in Christ but who do not live their Christian life in a manner pleasing to God. Then in verse 4, John continues the theme of a commitment to following Jesus by saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In other words, John is saying, with respect to spiritual progress and maturity in the life of another, there's nothing more rewarding than to hear that a new or immature believer has been grounded in God's word, encouraged in their faith, and guided in their daily walk with God. And there is nothing more needed for that particular believer either. That is why we need to emphasize follow-up in our evangelism. Not just getting people saved, but discipling them and getting them mature in their faith. You see, spiritual maturity, like physical maturity, doesn't take place overnight. It's a process, and it takes time and attention from spiritually mature believers to help another grow in their faith to become increasingly like Jesus. Let us make sure that this local church is indeed a place where mature believers invest time and energy in other believers, walking through life with them and shepherding them to Christian maturity. And maybe you could ask the Lord if there is a brother or sister in Christ that you can help in this way. Any investment that is made in the life of another believer that results in spiritual maturity is a worthwhile investment. And as you will discover, it not only encourages their growth, but it encourages your spirit. As John wrote in verse 4 of this letter of 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. True believers are to support true believers in their spiritual walk, to help one another grow in their dedication and devotion to the Lord, enabling them to walk through life and face its problems without being tossed about by every wind of doctrine that blows. Their walk. The second area of commitment applies to their work or ministry of service. Again, John commends Gaius, but this time it is for his Christian service. He says in verse 5, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." Gaius was a healthy disciple who not only loved the truth of God's word, he was committed to living it out in service to others. Well, what was Gaius doing? He was practicing the gift of hospitality. It was his spiritual gift. Now, hospitality was especially important in the early church because Christians weren't, by and large, welcomed anywhere else. There were no church buildings, so they met in each other's homes. Gaius was a believer who showed a willingness to open his home in the name of Christ for the work of the kingdom. This may seem somewhat trivial to us, but it is not to God. This is a practical outworking of the essential command to love one another. It is love in action. And John confirms in verse 6 that Gaius is doing the right thing and in a manner worthy of God. 1 Peter 4:9 tells us to cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. You know, every true believer has been given a spiritual gift to serve one another, and it is their duty to do so. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." It is in their service that all will see God's grace in action as they demonstrate their faith. Service is the manifestation of Christian love towards others. But sadly, many believers today go through life without ever knowing what or how to use their spiritual gift or gifts that God has divinely given to them. So this is an area in their Christian lives where believers can commit to support one another by helping them to discover their areas of giftedness. This can be done by drawing alongside them and encouraging them to pray that the Lord would give them wisdom and guidance as to where they should serve. Also by asking to the activities in which they have an interest and find satisfaction. And do you know something? True believers helping other believers discover what type of service God has called them to will produce much joy. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory in everything through Christ Jesus." When true believers make a commitment to support one another in their spiritual walk and work, God is honored. I see another area of support mentioned here for a true believer to another, and it is with their charity. their concerns, with their commitment, and with their charity. Believers providing for the needs of others. God's people should support God's work. God's people should support God's work. In verse 7, John says that these traveling teachers had the right motives, as the name of Jesus was their reason for serving. In verse 8, John says, therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. In other words, those who financially support people in ministry share personally in their ministry. I believe it remains important for us today that as true believers we continue to support true believers who have left their home and family to serve the Lord because we are fellow workers with them in God's service. And why do I believe that this is important? Let me suggest five reasons. One, because it's a testimony to our love for one another. Two, it honours God. Three, it is a testimony to the lost. Four, it obeys God. And five, it makes one a fellow worker for the truth. And our support for them includes not only those who can give some financial support to the missionary, but also to those who can offer hospitality to them, those who pray for them, those who write or visit them to encourage them on in their efforts. These are all fellow workers for the truth. One can have a part by going or have a part by helping. But every true believer has a part and should do it well in a way that pleases God. I thank God that this church has been so faithful over the years in supporting those who fulfil the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19, going and making disciples of all nations. We need to reach the lost. We need to reach the lost. And what a great to see Kim and Joan here, who are examples of those who dedicate their lives to reaching the lost. That's the very thing that God has called us to do. Think how the spread of the gospel would be hindered if true believers did not support other true believers. For the true believer, that alone should compel their support for them. We must continue to support the Lord's workers and have a heart to reach the people. And then I noticed true believers support true believers with their conduct. In verses 9 and 10, John deals with the type of conduct we should not expect to see in a godly individual. The personality described here is a man called Diotrephes. Verse 9 tells us this man loved to be first. He was full of pride. He was selfish. He wanted his own way. And he was ambitious. He was causing division. And it was hurting the mission of the church. Diotrephes not only used his influence to forbid others from showing hospitality to John or the travelling teachers, he even tried to excommunicate those who tried to show such hospitality. Do you know something? As I thought about this, sadly, it's not uncommon to find the behaviour of Diotrephes in some churches today. Such behaviour tears apart the love and unity that ought to prevail in every congregation. For example, Does not the spirit of Diotrephes manifest itself when Christians engage in malicious gossip, slandering one another, complaining and criticizing? The old sin nature feasts on it. We're not to tear down or tear each other down, but to build each other up. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. You see, if believers conduct themselves no differently from the outside world, what good is that? If indeed the outside world is watching and they see no difference between themselves and Christians, what motivation, if any, will there be for them to forgo their unbelieving lifestyle? True believers must assist other believers by warning them against conduct as that displayed by Diotrephes. John then says to Gaius in verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." Now let me make it clear here that no one is saved by their good conduct or their good works. No one. Our good conduct and our good works do not get us a ticket to heaven. The gospel makes this clear. The only way for us to be saved is by God's gift of redemption to us in Christ. And that's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But our conduct says something about whether or not we truly believe what we say. In other words, the believer's conduct should always reflect a Christ-like character. That kind of disciplined living will glorify God. Jesus said if we live that kind of life, even the people of this world will praise the Father in heaven because of how we conduct ourselves, in Matthew 5:16. Then in contrast with the deplorable behaviour of Diotrephes, John highlights the commendable example of Demetrius, whose conduct and lifestyle was a wonderful example of Christian living. The way Demetrius lived his life spoke volumes about his faith. As John says in verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. He was renowned for his holiness. He had a testimony of moral uprightness and Christian excellence, both with the people as well as with John. He is an example of a true believer the church needs to be full of. He imitated good. His life was centered on knowing and pleasing God and doing what was right. He received a good testimony from everyone. True believers should encourage and support one another to have a good report of them that are without, 1 Timothy 3:17. And to be living epistles, known and read of all men, 2 Corinthians 3:2, and who are doers of the word, not hearers only, James 1:22. Then the conclusion. In these final three verses, John acknowledges the importance of others. He wanted to be with them, to see them, to speak personally with them, and to support and share with them. What a way to end his letter to them. If your fellow believers are important to you, if you are walking in love and truth, you will want to support them, to pray for them, and show love to them. So in summary, because of our connection with one another in Christ, True believers support true believers in their Christian walk with their concerns, with their commitment, with their charity, and with their conduct. So in finishing, I pose the following questions. In what specific ways do you need to be more accepting of others? Do you realize and value the special connection we have with each other in Christ? Hebrews 10:24 says, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. Praying for each other? Take time to pray about some practical ways you can deepen your connection with other believers this week. Supporting those who serve God's people? Think of ways in which you may be able to give to meet the needs of others, and setting a good example for others to follow. Our lives are often shaped by the people whose example we follow. Good examples like Gaius and Demetrius will lead us closer to God. Bad examples like Diotrephes will lead us into unhelpful and destructive ways of behaving. So as we conclude our studies from the three letters of John, the last thing I will say is this. Love God and love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. It is so applicable. And we acknowledge that your word convicts us that we have fallen short of that which you intend us to be. And so by your grace, by the work of your Holy Spirit in us, we ask that you would enable us to show the kind of love to those of our brothers and sisters in Christ that you have called us to show. Lord Jesus, may we also be fellow helpers in the work and spread the gospel, in spread of the gospel around the world for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray that we will all manifest this kind of spiritual maturity and truth and love. We love you, Lord Jesus. Help us to love you more, and help us to love one another more too. We pray, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.